Okay, welcome back to Rockstock Channel. It is Wednesday, April 3rd. Over the past 2 years, Lithium Rush, the RK Equity Scoreboard, has grown from some 50 companies to over 150. It's been very hard for Rodney and I to keep up with all the new listings that came on in 2022 and 2023. But as the dust settles in lithium equity land over the course of 2024, Rodney and I have been spending some time in the first quarter reaching out and getting to know a number of these new stories and picking some we think you might also like to get to know. First up is Cleantech Lithium. To be clear, Rodney and I are not strategic advisors to nor invested in Cleantech Lithium. And of course, we are not financial advisors and nothing in this video should be considered investment advice. Please do your own research and read the disclaimers in this video. A written summary of this interview will be included in our next Lithium Ion Bull later this month. If you're not already on our email list, please register your email at rkequity.com. And don't forget, if you like this video, to please like and subscribe to Rockstock Channel and comment on this interview. What do you think of Cleantech and Steve Kessler? Who else might you want to see on this Getting to Know You series? Before the interview, we will begin each Getting to Know You episode with a summary synopsis of some of the key company attributes, and then Rodney will lead the questioning from there. Looking at the RK Equity Scoreboard, Cleantech Lithium trades on the London AIM market, ticker symbol CTL. CTL has a market cap of about $27 million. In terms of project type and location, CTL is focused on Chilean brines and plans to use DLE technology from one of the few companies that have deployed such technology commercially, China's Sun Resin. CTL had, at the end of June, 4.6 million British pounds in the bank, but they conducted a recent raise in December of 8.8 million, to add to that, at 22p. Current price is 15p. Canaccord and Fox Davies both have raised capital for the company in the past and write research coverage. Canaccord has a £2.95 based on one of their projects, and Fox Davies has a valuation of 4.45 based on the NPVs of both projects that Steve is going to talk about today. Top shareholder in Cleantech Lithium is Regal Investments out of Australia with a 15% stake. I forgot to mention, Rodney and I are on X. You could follow me at Lithium Ion Bull. Rodney's at Rodney Hooper 13, but Cleantech also has a presence on X at CT Lithium and posts regularly on LinkedIn, sometimes via Daniel Fox Davies, the CEO of Fox Davies Investment Bank. And today there was actually a news release published that Rodney will talk about, but Steve Kessler, welcome to Rockstock Channel for the first time. Why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself and your background, and most importantly, why investors should back a proven shareholder value creator as yourself?
Yeah, no, I spent my lifetime in the mining industry, originally with Rio Tinto, then seconded to BHP. For the development of Escondida, from its startup, I was responsible for business development and growing that from its startup capacity to be the largest copper mine in the world with a million tons a year of copper production. I then left Rio Tinto to become the first CEO of Collahuasi, taking that through its technical studies, permitting, financing, and into construction as the second largest copper mine in the world. So I've got extensive project development and financing experience, particularly in Chile. I've been in the lithium industry. Now, prior to Cleantech Lithium, I was a CEO of European Lithium with a hard rock project in Austria. And that company's just done a NASDAQ listing only a few weeks ago. So I think what we're doing as a company is developing lithium brine projects to produce green lithium using DLE and reinjection and renewable energy, which I think is what the markets in the US and the EU want to see.
Steve, if you can outline for those listening what it was that were the key milestones that the company covered in 2023, and then later on we'll cover what's coming forward. But if you can just have a look back and show what all the boxes were ticked last year.
Okay, Rodney, we did a tremendous amount of work. I say we have two lithium brine projects in Chile, Laguna Verde and Francisco Basin. They're both up about 4,300 meters. We did the exploration over the last 2 years, and last year declared for Laguna Verde a 1.8 million tons of LCE resource, and Francisco Basin on limited drill, 0.9 million. We then completed scoping studies on both of those projects, and combined, they have an NPV of about $3 billion post-tax, post-royalties. So that's about a 43% IRR. So very, very robust economics. The operating costs we expect to be in the lowest quartile. With a break-even cost of about $7,000 a ton. So a lot of headroom even to today's very low lithium price. We've been concentrating our activities on Laguna Verde. We've now gone into pre-feasibility study, which we expect to complete later this year. We've been undertaking all the environmental baseline studies in preparation for, again, completion of an EIA later this year.
You've had some news. We've seen some announcement from the Chilean government. It seems they've released a sort of network of protected salars and those that require further environmental assessment. It was noted that your projects remain outside of this network, but you released an announcement today. There's going to be a small tweak on your CEOL application. Can you just should fill us in on that?
Yeah, the government launched its national lithium strategy last year, where it said that 30% of the land area of salars were going to be protected. And they've completed their analysis, and that was part of their announcement last week, which of the salars which are going to go into environmental study to be protected. They announced that there are only two salars, Atacama and Maricunga, they consider as strategic, which they want to have control of, and a number of others were to be developed by Codelco and Anami, and 26 other salars are available for the private sector to develop, and both of ours are in that category. We did put in the sale applications last year, but with the government now putting its timeline and its process in place as of this week, we decided to withdraw those applications. Clearly, it'll be administratively confusing for the government to do things in two different ways, and we'll be submitting those sales in the current administration process. And the way that is going to go, there's a period between now and June, for companies to put in their applications of expressions of interest to develop lithium projects. The government will look at those, and then during July, will announce which ones are going to go forward into the award of a sale. There's going to be a period of consultation with indigenous groups for most of those projects. We are very different because from the start of our project a couple of years ago, we've had a very strong consultation with the communities that live not around the project because there's nobody within 100 kilometers, but on the transport corridors. So we've taken them to site, we've shown the technology that we're going to be using. And in the recognition that lithium will be developed in Chile, the indigenous groups recognize it needs to be done in a sustainable way, and we've shown the way forward using DLE and renewable energy. And that led to a signing of an agreement last December, an alliance agreement between the indigenous communities and ourselves to have a joint model of mining development going forward. This means that the Indigenous groups are going to be a participant with us in the environmental impact assessment. And because we've had that consultation with the groups, they've been very forceful in making their views felt to government that they need to get on and award a sale now to Cleantech Lithium as soon as possible, so we could advance the project and meet the government's ambitions to get increased lithium production as soon as possible into Chile. So we believe that the government announcement of the timeframe to decide which ones are going forward to sale in July, and then we expect, because we've had Indigenous consultation, the process will take perhaps 3 months to the signing of a sale. So we see that as very positive.
Yeah, that's great. It certainly would get you on your way. Now, one of the questions I had was with the use of SunResin, what is the licensing or commercial arrangement with them, and how does that impact or how is it reflected in your operating cost?
We've had a review of all the technologies that are available with all these different providers. And we've been studying all the different adsorbents and resins for lithium. And we concluded that we wanted to work with established producers, and SunResin has been the leading company that has commercialized DLE technology in China. They have quite a number of projects already up and running. They are the largest resin manufacturer in the world. But there are other companies also developing lithium projects and resins in China. But we haven't wanted to have the same sort of commercial structure which some other operators have got, where the technology provider leverages their technology into an equity position in the company. We've been very straight in saying we want the relationship to be an owner, being Cleantech Lithium, buying the technology and the process equipment from a provider. So as in any other mining company, we will buy the equipment and we will buy the technology and the resin with no requirement to give any shareholding away. There's no royalties. There's no participation in the project. It's a straightforward buyer-vendor relationship.
So have you estimated what those costs are likely to be then from them and then inputted that into the OPEX?
Yes. When we did the scoping study, we came up with a capital cost for the project for a 20,000 ton a year lithium carbonate project at Laguna Verde. CapEx of about $400 million. Obviously, that was beginning of last year. We expect inflation in the mining industry has been quite high recently, so that will go up. We had the provision of a ballpark figure from SunResin to do an EPC contract for the complete DLE component of that plant, and we've used that as part of our scoping study. Now, clearly, okay, as we go forward into the feasibility study and into construction, now we are open. We are agnostic as to technology. We want to use who is providing the best technology and who's providing the best resin at a point in time. So we've gone ahead with SunResin and put a pilot plant in place, which is operating now. And we will look at the project when we want to go into construction as who is going to provide the best equipment and the best resin.
And can you tell us, Steve, how that pilot plant's going? How is there enough data yet, or is it too early to say?
The pilot plant was designed to produce 1 ton a month of lithium carbonate. And the way that we've structured the plant is that the DLE plant is in Chile. We take the brine, pass that through the DLE plant, and produce a purified lithium chloride solution, which we're then going to concentrate by quite a bit to about 4,000 ppm. But rather than doing the downstream conversion into lithium carbonate ourselves and spending multiple millions on a plant, there are existing facilities in North America. So we have an agreement with Conductive Energy. As a Calgary-based company, they have their pilot plant or demo plant is in Chicago, and working with them and Forward Water Technology of Toronto, we are shipping our lithium chloride eluate to Chicago to have the final purification, concentration, and precipitation of battery grade lithium carbonate. So we'll be doing that in batches close to a ton a month, and that will give us good samples to start discussions with potential off-takers and strategic investors.
Yeah, that's a good amount to definitely do. So that's the plan, is to then send that out. Have you had a number of fruitful discussions on potential off-takers and those that want sampling?
Yes, we have five major companies under NDA where we've given access to data. A few of them have visited site as well. But unlike many junior lithium companies, we've been very, very adamant and say we do not believe it's beneficial to our shareholders to put in place non-binding offtake agreements. Now, we believe that we want to get our pre-feasibility study complete later this year, where we have good knowledge of the resource reserves, the technology, the economic value of the project. We have the pilot plant up and running. We're demonstrating the DLE works. We're making battery grade lithium carbonate. And then we could enter into discussions and negotiations with potential off-takers from a position of strength. And we've been very forthright in saying, look, we're going to be making what we call green lithium. Now, that's what the US and the EU demand, with a sustainable lithium, low carbon footprint. We believe it's going to be a preferred material. And we're saying, look, you want our product, great. How are you going to help us finance the capital for the construction? So that's the quid pro quo. And that's why we want to get into those negotiations and say, yes, you want offtake, we want finance. And we would expect the strategic investor who wants the offtake to bring in, maybe it's debt or equity financing from their own balance sheet, but in particular to start working with relationship banks, if it's from Germany, there's the KfW, the banks there, if it's elsewhere in Asia, if it's in Japan, there's Jexim and the commercial banks there, how the strategic investor can mobilize their banking relationships to help finance the clean tech lithium construction cap.
Because that was one of my questions is, your CapEx estimate originally was 383. As you said, that's probably at 400. It looks like you're hoping to get quite a big debt component. Do you think that's you've got a low OPEX, so that's going to be hugely helpful. But do you think in this market environment that one can sort of still get those kind of debt levels as a percentage of CapEx?
Yeah, I think we're going to be so strongly cash generating, will be very attractive to the banking sector. But one has to understand what the dynamics is in Europe and the United States. Let's take the EU. There are import credit facilities in the EU with Germany, Italy, France, Sweden, all having similar programs. One example is in Germany. Now, I've already had discussions with KfW. They're very concerned with security of lithium supply into their car and battery industry there. So KfW have their program. They said, look, you're going to be producing 20,000 tons a year. If you can provide a contract to one of those German manufacturers of 8,000 tons a year for an 8-year contract period, that's 64,000 tons at your long-term price, $22,500 a ton. That's a $1.4 billion contract. We can provide 25% of the contract value. That's $350 million capacity from KfW alone to the debt financing of the project. And there's similar programs, as I say, in Sweden, Italy, France. We have a similar situation in the United States. There's no direct import credit program in the US, but there's the IRA funding. All those motor manufacturers and new battery plants need to have either lithium going into their supply chain 80% by 2026, either from within the United States or from a free trade agreement country. There isn't enough lithium in the US. The only free trade agreement country producing battery grade lithium at the moment is Chile. There may be more in the future, but today it is only Chile. So those motor manufacturers are going to have IRA compliant material. And they're going to have to come to countries such as Chile and say, look, we want to buy lithium from you. Same message. You want to buy lithium from us. How are you going to support the financing for our project? So I think there is going to be good support from those two directions. And there's the commercial banks. We're seeing a lot of capacity in the ESG funds. We're going to be producing low water consumption, low carbon intensity lithium, just what the ESG wants to see. There's trillions of dollars sitting in ESG funds. There's a number of lithium royalty and streaming companies there. So there's plenty of sources of debt financing for a project such as ours, which has very strong ESG credentials.
And have you had chats at all with domestic Chilean banks?
Not yet. Obviously, for day-to-day, no banking. But we believe that our main focus of sales into Europe, into the United States, and into Asia will drag in those large industrial commercial banks into the project.
Okay, great. And then you've had big support from Regal. I see board and management owns a very similar percentage of the company at the last look. So everyone got skin in the game who's sitting on the board and involved.
Yeah. We have the board and management have got 15%. We have a policy different to most. A lot of companies only award share options to board and senior management. We have every single person in our company under a share option scheme, so everybody is a participant in the success of the company. On all of the raises we've done over the last two years, board and management have contributed into that. Regal have been extremely supportive. They came in on the pre-IPO round early in 2022, came into the IPO on AIM at a 10% level. When we did this this raise in November last year, they say, look, we really like the project, what you're doing there, the pace at which you're working. We will increase our participation from 10% to 15%. Into the project. And we will tell you right now, we will support you in all future raises at that level. And we also want to talk to you when it comes to construction finance. We believe that we can be very useful in helping to cornerstone that construction finance. And that's why, because Regal is an Australian company, one of the largest natural resource hedge funds there. They've been advising us very strongly to dual list on the ASX, and that's what we're engaged at the moment. We've worked our way through all the issues with the ASX and ASIC. We're putting the prospectus together with the independent technical assessment report. We expect to be filing that by the end of this month. Because we've had lots of contact with the ASX, we believe the review process will be shortened. So we should be trading on the ASX during the course of May. And we believe that's going to be very, very positive for cleantech lithium. We've clearly seen in Australia, there's a great understanding of the natural resource space, particularly the lithium space. A lot of people made money out of lithium there. And Regal is telling us, you know, when people see the quality of your project and where you're valued at the moment, not only will you access the deeper pools of capital in Australia, we expect to see a very rapid re-rating of your share price.
And Steve, do you know roughly now what percentage of your shareholders are in Australia?
I think it's close to 30%, Rodney. So it's very strong.
Including Regal, obviously.
Yes. Yeah. And now people said, why you're in the Americas, why don't you list on TSX? But with Regal and our shareholding base, ASX makes the most sense for us.
Yeah, we also are big fans of the ASX, so it's good to hear that you the process is going well. On to the next question is, what roughly is your burn rate at the moment?
Oh, I think if we look at the total number of people, and we've stepped up because we want to advance the project very rapidly. We've grown the company from when we listed, we had two people. In March 2022, we now have 25. So we've got all the skill sets in terms of geology and metallurgical engineering and project management and environmental and community relations. So we built up quite a group there. Overall, we're probably about $250,000 a month in total administration and listing costs and insurance and all of that.
Okay, that's not bad, and that's including running the pilot.
No, we take the administration costs out, and then we have what we term our capital costs. We raised money. Part of the funds raised in December was for the completion of the pilot plant and the operating costs of running the pilot plant. And that's a bit of flexibility because going ahead, we'll do the first batch of lithium carbonate battery grade in Chicago in the next couple of months, and that gives us enough material to kick off our discussions with off-takers, because most of them, they just need kilos of sample to start doing their chemical analysis, then they want tens of kilos to start doing their physical analysis, and then hundreds of kilos when they want to start putting it into their test battery cycle. So we will introduce the material in smaller quantities, and as the off-takers want more material, we will run the pilot plant more and generate more material for them. But meanwhile, we're running the pilot plant to get engineering data, all the design data, to get that optimized to feed into the engineering for the pre-feasibility study.
Does SunResin send people over to assist?
Yes. The pilot plant that we bought from them it was manufactured. They have a subsidiary. They bought two subsidiaries in Belgium, one called Puritech. And they manufactured the pilot plant in Belgium with all the electronic controls and pumps and motors and everything. To Chile, they came at the beginning of this year for the construction of that. And 2 weeks ago, we had the team of commissioning engineers from SunResin, from Belgium, came to finalize the commissioning of the pilot plant, start running the brine and collecting the eluate at the other end. So at the moment, we're still in that process of optimizing the process conditions, making sure we've got the best quality eluate. We've got minimal transfer of pollutants, of impurities going through from the brine into the eluate. We expect with the performance we've seen in our laboratory scale, pilot plant, to get somewhere over 90% recovery of lithium from the brine, whilst we're getting more than 99% rejection of all the impurities, the calcium, magnesium, potassium, and other things from the brine. So the DLE is both an upgrade in terms of lithium concentration, but more so a purification stage.
Yes. What were typically the impurities? What were the big ones you had in your raw brine?
Sodium, calcium, magnesium, potassium. So that's the largest concentration. We have a brine of about 140,000 ppm total dissolved solids, of which about 200 is lithium, and 139,800 is all the impurities, and we leave 99% of those at least all behind, and then re-inject that back into the aquifer. So it's the same brine that we've pumped out minus 200 ppm of lithium goes back into the aquifer.
And you mentioned you're in the process of Laguna Verde. You're doing a PFS. Who's helping you with that work? Which companies are you using?
Yeah, we chose Worley, the Australian engineering company. They have a very big engineering base in Santiago because they've done a tremendous amount of work for Albemarle and SQM, two of the largest lithium producers in the world. A lot of experience at the manufacture of lithium carbonate and lithium hydroxide at battery scale. So they are responsible for the overall PFS, although we have a number of other consultants working as part of that. You know, one well-known company, Montgomery and Associates, out of Tucson. They're probably the most experienced at doing resource evaluation, reserve evaluation, and hydrogeological modeling of the brine aquifers in South America. They're leading that program, and as part of the work on the PFS, later this year, July, we'll be having the first reserves estimate for the Laguna Verde project. Part of the work of Montgomery is to do the design of the well fields, the extraction wells, and the reinjection field to make sure we can maximize the recovery of the resource and minimize any dilution from the reinjection of the spent brine. And that's very important going into the environmental impact assessment. So Worley expect to finish the PFS third quarter this year. That configuration is going into the EIA, which we expect to file about the end of this year.
Okay, so if we recap then, you could have feedback by government then in July, that's correct?
Yeah, I think we will definitely have feedback in July, and we are very, very confident, because we are the most advanced project in Chile. Now, we introduced the concept of DLE for these lower grade salars to the government. They're very supportive. They can see we've got very, very strong community support to move ahead with this project. And we have the mining licenses. Now, there's a lot of discussion about the awarding of the sales, and is there a conflict with the mining licenses? We have the mining licenses as well. So we believe all the boxes are there for the government to say, yes, we want clean tech lithium to go ahead as soon as possible. So we'll expect to hear in July, because we've already had the community dialogue. We don't expect there to be any competing parties there. That we would expect about 3 months after that, we should be expecting the award of a CEOL.
And will you be using some of the locals for labor in the project?
Oh, absolutely. No, we're absolutely committed. We're in Region 3. We have an office based in the city of Copiapó, which is a city supporting the mining industry in that area. So there's a tremendous amount of experience. We support all the universities both in Atacama region. And that's at Copiapó and in Antofagasta. So we'll be very much looking at recruitment, not only of operational, but the technical skills from Copiapó and the region and elsewhere in Chile. That's why, as I've had 30 years of working in Chile. I think it's a fantastic country, you know, to work in. Unlike many lithium projects around the world, which are in very remote areas with poor infrastructure, we have great physical infrastructure, interconnected power grid, roads, ports, roads. We have the international highway going right beside our project at Laguna Verde. But the most important is the quality of the human resource in Chile. Very experienced in mining over decades, lots of experience in the lithium industry. All the universities churn out geological, metallurgical, mining, environmental engineers. So we can expect to have a very, very strong program of local recruitment into our project.
Steve, the one question I wanted to ask is, given that you're using DLE and reinjecting as opposed to ponds, is there any limitation? Is it an infrastructural, what have you, that you're at 20,000 tons per annum, or can that be expanded upon?
I think we've said 20,000 tons because we believe that the resort can support that. But we will look at determining what is the optimum production capacity as part of the PFS, because we need to ensure that we manage the basin efficiently. And it may be that, you know, it's 17,000 or 23,000. We'll find out, you know, what is the optimum production capacity during the pre-feasibility study.
Okay. And then, you know, obviously you're pursuing that project first, Francisco Basin and the other projects that you have, you know, your thoughts on that as follow on?
Yeah, we think Francisco Basin can be very similar to Laguna Verde. We haven't done as much drilling there, but we've already have a 1.9 million ton LC resource. And certainly following on the ASX listing and the availability of funds later in the year, we would like to go back and expand that drilling program at Francisco Basin and get the resource further up. But what we really want to do is use Laguna Verde as the learning process for the design and the optimization of the DLE and the engineering. Get that done, get that into the DFS, get that into construction, because we expect to just duplicate that and do exactly the same for Francisco Basin. So that should lead to a lower capex in the future for Francisco Basin as well.
And you're doing some work on that this year? You're doing some further exploration drilling, or is it?
At the moment, we've got Francisco Basin on standby. And all the funds that we raised in December, we're applying to maximize the schedule for the Laguna Verde project. And all those funds are committed for Laguna Verde. If more funds became available at a later stage, we would reactivate Francisco Basin.
Okay, great. And so we won't hold the gun to you on this, but roughly the timeline for all of it, if in an ideal world, how are we looking from here to first production? Just break it down for us in milestones and
well,
time.
Our time frame is to complete the PFS Q3 this year. File the environmental impact assessment by the end of this year. And generally, it's the EIA and the permitting process is the rate determining factor in moving project forward. With the PFS, we'll get into discussions with strategic investors, off-takers, financing institutions, put together a package whilst we're doing the DFS. And similar to what I've done with other projects in Chile, you knit all that together with drawdown of finance being contingent on a satisfactory DFS and permits being in place. We would expect to finish that DFS middle of 2025. I think working with the companies such as SunResin and others in China, they've shown they can move very fast in terms of fabrication and erection of equipment. We believe the construction can be fast, and we would expect, you know, in certainly by 2027 to be in production.
Okay, great.
The government of Chile, the minister Marcel, was public just a couple of weeks ago, saying the ambition of the Chilean government is to see three or four new projects, you know, in production in 2026. So clearly there's a great incentive on government to make sure that the permitting process runs as smoothly as it possibly can.
It's good to see the Chilean government finally getting on board. But to be fair, they're certainly moving now in terms of getting back to and outlining it. And as you say, you know, local communities you have involved do find that going the route of the non-traditional pond and the DLE route with the clean energy is definitely a hugely positive factor in the relations with the locals and, you know, threat to water and so on.
Absolutely. It's absolutely not just important. It's essential. No, certainly in the national lithium strategy, the government recognized that there's tremendous community concern for the use of evaporation ponds, the abstraction of water from the aquifer and evaporating and losing it in a desert, which is not well received by the communities. And part of the national lithium strategy, the government said they will not give environmental permits to any more projects using evaporation ponds. They will need to use direct lithium extraction or equivalents with the return, the reinjection of the water back into the aquifer. So I think that's largely based on how we've introduced the project into Chile. There's a recognition there is a different way of producing lithium, and it can be done in a sustainable way. And particularly with Chile really advancing strongly with its use of renewable energy, it's already about 60% renewable, solar in the north, wind and hydro in the south with a interconnected grid, and that's growing year by year. So I think Chile will be at the forefront of being able to demonstrate we're going to be producing sustainable lithium. Now, unlike many hard rock projects, which are conventional mining with diesel, truck and shovel, ship it to China, convert it in China, largely using coal-fired power, we can be able to demonstrate we are going to be producing green lithium for the market.
Well, great. Thank you, Steve. A couple of things I would just add is that, LFP is, as a battery chemistry is rising in North America as well. I think there was another announcement today, GM and some others going to license CATL technology. So obviously, brines to LFP are attractive, carbonate to LFP, and brines generally are low cost. And Chile is a free trade agreement to the United States, unlike Argentina, which is trying to see if they can get, added to that list. But, so for access to the U.S. market, I think those things are positives in clean tech's favor. Thanks again, Steve, for being the guinea pig for the Getting to Know You series. And have you thought about a song or any kind of band that we, and we'll pick a song that is either your favorite or one which you think embodies clean tech story?
I think it would have to be something by the Beatles, as I'm pretty long in the tooth, and they were part of my formative years. So maybe something like "Good Day Sunshine." That's all.
That's a good one. That's a good one. In the Chile is very sunny, as we know. So "Good Day Sunshine." Thank you for making that easy for us, Steve. Okay, thanks again, and a reminder to everybody. A summary of this will appear in our upcoming Lithium Ion Bull as well. So don't forget to register your email at rkequity.com. Take care, Steve.
Okay, Howard, Rodney, nice talking to you.